Still shooting a 15-year-old Keon Huff Jr. on Friday night on Garden Street.
Yes.
And we're going to have the Reverend Henry Brown joining us in the next hour. And with us now in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair is Hartford Deputy Police Chief Brian Foley to talk about this. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. Before we get going, did I hear you talking about Gene Pitney, the Rocksville Rocket, a short time ago?
Yes, right. You did. I absolutely.
His son's still local, one of the smartest kids you'll know. He's an actuary. He lives in West Hartford. But Gene Pitney was great. That's fantastic. Good to listen to you guys.
Wow, and that's so great to hear about his son. I didn't realize that.
I didn't realize that either.
Good kid.
Wow, great stuff.
Yep.
Brian, what is the latest here? We're reading, of course, today that Keon had been missing for a couple of days, hadn't been in school for a few weeks. What's the latest?
Oh, wow. So I don't know where you're hearing that from, but, you know, it's likely accurate. We're going to work today with we put together our timeline Saturday morning. Unfortunately, the morning after the homicide, we had a couple detectives come in from our Youth Services Bureau and document every contact that Keon had with the Hartford Police Department. It's extensive, and I've learned a few things in this job, and one is not to speak ill of the deceased, so I won't. But to say that somewhere along the lines the system failed a child that certainly had some troubles is absolutely accurate. We're going to meet today with DCF. We're going to meet today with juvenile probation. We've already got our information from the Hartford schools, and we're going to put together an accurate timeline starting from his first interaction with all of us all the way up till Friday night on Garden Street where the tragic end occurred. And that's just going to shed some light, I believe, just knowing what I know here. And again, I'm not going to speak ill of the deceased, but there's a lot to look at there.
You know, Brian, what is hitting everybody is why does this continue and why is it? Why is it somebody just doesn't come forward? That has troubled me for a long, long time.
Okay, don't let that trouble you anymore. One, and I can't say any more than that. Two, why does it continue? You know, if you look back, when's the last time a 15-year-old was killed? And I think it was 2006, so we're looking at about almost over 10 years ago that we unfortunately lost a 15-year-old. And you go back and you look at the news releases, and a lot of the same things that were said then are being said today. And that's what the mayor's trying to avoid, is doing the same old things. And he is he's going to make some aggressive moves in the next week or so to ensure that we don't fall right back into the same pattern. You're going to see a lot of groups stepping up, the YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club, Urban League, all these groups that we work together with that really are bare bones on the street, boots on the ground, working with kids. And, you know, we have some organizations in Hartford or some leaders in Hartford that get hundreds of thousands of dollars in grant money to prevent violence on our streets. And we don't know what happens. We don't know what they prevent. They're not affiliated with us. But let me say this, and he is coming on. Reverend Brown doesn't ask for a penny. And he isn't one of these guys. He's a man of very humble means and incredible energy, and he is real. Him and Brother Carl, I mean, these are the men that had contact with the youth that are in these problems, and they're trying to prevent it. They're trying to heal the community, and they're not asking for a penny. These are not the people out there applying for hundreds of thousands of dollars in grants. These are the people that, you know, look at, Brother Carl knew where Keon was, either knew how to get a hold of Keon and knew how to reach him, and we need those people in the city. You know, when we can't get a hold of him, you know, if you're turning to the police to save a 15-year-old kid that's had, you know, dozens of contacts with DCF and police, if you're looking for the police to save him at 9:30 on a Friday night, boy, you're walking into the movies that they're in the last scene of the movie, and it's way too late.
Well, it goes back to what you're saying before. The system obviously failed them if you're looking to the police at 9:30 at night.
Yes, and let me just say this. We had extra uniform patrol on in that neighborhood. We had extra undercover detectives on in that neighborhood on that night. Our officers knew Keon. Our community service officer, unfortunately, walked into the back hallway and looked down and didn't need fingerprints, didn't need an ID, and said, "That's Keon Huff." At the time of his death, he was listed as a missing person, and there was a take into custody order for him from the juvenile probation. And you know, he was a troubled kid. The kid had troubles, and I'm no youth psychologist, but at some point, I believe that some kids are a danger to themselves when they're out in the street. And it's something that's going to have to be examined, and I certainly don't have the answers.
Okay, one thing too, and I just wanted to say, and what you just said, I'm so glad that you mentioned the Reverend Henry Brown. I've known him for a long time. Dan knows him, and he is a gutsy guy.
Yep.
And just he's just what you say he is.
Yeah, he is, and you know, he'll go out in the streets and he'll put people on blast, and he'll call them out for not coming forward. He'll call them out for, you know, not being good parents, and you know, he's real. So when you have him on, he deserves all the respect he gets, and we certainly give it to him here. He sat in here for an hour with the chief, just having coffee yesterday. But this, I don't want you to think this just happened. He does that every week. We meet with him and others in the community. They just come in and hang out and talk to the chief, because we need them out there. We try to help them as much as we can and try to support them, because they're the ones. Look, not a lot of people are blaming the police for this situation. You know, this is a societal problem. Somewhere, anytime a kid gets arrested, anytime a kid gets killed, something in the system broke. Something in the system failed, and it's our job to define that and fix it so it doesn't happen again.
You know, Brian, is it possible that sometimes it's not the question of the system breaking down, that the system can do everything, but sometimes the system just can't save a person?
Well, look, at the system isn't just your state agencies, all right? Your system is it goes all the way down to your communities, your neighborhoods, and your families. And these kids on our streets need adult role models in their lives, and I'm not so sure this poor kid had that, you know, positive adult role models that he could live with on a day-to-day basis and look up to. And that's, you know, when I say system, don't think I just mean the state agencies. And everyone's always quick to point the finger at DCF. Well, you're right. They can't save everybody. And it comes down to the entire system, and that means us as a society. That's the police department, the schools, your state agencies, your neighborhoods, your neighborhood leaders, your faith-based groups, and your families. We're all a part of the same system. A lot of things, I believe, failed Keon on his road to Garden Street Friday night.
Wow. Meanwhile, there's a suspect out there. What can you tell us about that?
The investigation is going well. I speak highly of our police department all the time. That's my job. I was a homicide detective myself. I am amazed at the work that our detectives here do at the Hartford Police Department. This is a real homicide and major crimes detective investigation unit here. This is real police work. This is what they make movies about. This is what they make TV shows about. These guys teach me every day, and I've been at this for 22 years. And this investigation is going well. The community has been incredible in coming forward in this, and I'll tell you, that's because of Reverend Brown out kicking the curb and kicking in doors, saying you better come forward and talk, and Brother Carl and people like that, and Pastor Lane. These guys are out there begging people to come forward. Well, you know, it doesn't work every time, but it's sure working this time, and our detectives are doing an amazing job. And I don't want to speak too soon, other than this is one heck of a professional detective division we have here.
So what Reverend Brown did on Sunday night, then, by saying the community needs to come forward and point out who did this, that actually helped, is what you're saying.
Things have changed dramatically since then, is all I can say.
Well, let me tell you, Chief, you have no idea what you have added to this program that Dan and I do every single day.
You guys are so nice to me.
You appear with us, and we have Reverend Brown coming on at 8:05. He's coming into the studio this morning, and we're going to stay on top of this. But I just wanted to, on behalf of Dan, to just thank you for being a part of getting this out to our radio audience.
I love it. My mom's always listening. She's a big fan of you guys, so you can say hi to Mrs. Foley anytime you want, and I'll come on. She'll yell at me if I don't come on.
Terrific.
Terrific.
Chief, thank you as always.
Say hi to the Rev for me.
We will. Take care.
Bye.